Are you obsessed with anime? Get your fix today at toymation.co.uk. Our friends who help sponsor us, I know the guy really well. He's a nice dude. They do great anime and manga products. So once again, get your fix today at toymation.co.uk. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Blind Tag Podcast. We gave you our number 8 show last night, and today we're here with our Survivor Series review show. Joining me is, of course...
Tim.
What's up, Tim?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you doing, man?
How you doing? Let's get that mic a little closer to you. Just a little bit. There you go.
Can everyone hear me now?
Yeah, it would be better. So, last night we saw a whole bunch of really good matches, I think, to kind of summarize it.
And a Divas match.
And a Divas match. I think overall, though, I mean, from top to bottom, it was a good pay-per-view. Apart from maybe one or two matches, which obviously we'll get into as we do our match-by-match breakdown. We saw John Morrison, probably one of his last pay-per-views. We saw Eve and Beth Phoenix undo all their good work from the last pay-per-view. And, of course, we saw the comeback of The Rock.
Yep, that's certainly what we did see.
So let's jump in and start analyzing it with our expert eye view. That makes sense, right?
No.
Just our expert view. Full stop. Let's go. Okay, awesome. So, Survivor Series 2011, of course, in Madison Square Garden, New York, New York. Before we really get kind of into the match-by-match breakdown, I just really want to say I'm so surprised. So surprised. At the fact that John Cena turned heel.
Yeah, just as Brad predicted last night.
As Brad expertly predicted, because he knows everything.
And he
guaranteed.
He guaranteed it. He guaranteed it.
Can you believe that?
That was almost like we rehearsed it.
Back at the old days. But I can't believe Brad was so completely right in everything he said. Isn't that amazing?
Brad. Well done.
Wow. Just
that heel turn.
Wow, that heel turn that you saw coming, that never happened. Well done, Brad. I'm so glad you guaranteed that. And yes, we'll be bringing it up again later. But before that, let's move on with the first match of the night. So the first match was?
It was for the United States Championship. It was Dolph Ziggler versus John Morrison.
Your boy, Jomo.
It wasn't made into a triple threat match like Brad also predicted yesterday.
In fairness, I jumped onto that bandwagon.
Yeah, it made sense.
I still said Ziggler would win it, as he did, though.
I thought Jomo might and Ziggler would move on up to and have a bit more of a role in the Survivor Series match, which we'll get onto in a bit. I was wrong. John Morrison did lose. A good match, though. There was a lot of good back and forth, and this was possibly actually my match of the evening.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe the John Cena Rock match. That was a good match, but I think this one I enjoyed the most.
This one had a lot of solid wrestling.
A lot of solid wrestling, a lot of good
back
moves.
And forth action. The raucous New York crowd from the start really helped set the tone as well. You know, the We Want Ryder boo chants. I mean, I'd say at one point it was 50-50 Ryder support, but then, of course, when he disappeared later, it was pretty much all Ryder support, big-time Ryder love from this crowd. Few highlights from this match include like the nice neck breaker that he hit as Joe Morrison was going back through the ropes.
Yep,
and he hit that. That looked awesome. Vicky Guerrero once again being an awesome, wonderful heel manager and playing it to perfection, putting Mr. Ziggler's foot on the rope.
But she did then go into the tone that only dogs could understand.
Yeah, she went a little bit too high, I think. Overall, though, I thought it was an awesome back-and-forth exchange, especially in the last part of that match that was punctuated with, I wrote down Famouser because I can't remember what it's called, because as Tim's rightly said before in the past, they keep calling both of his signature moves the zigzag, so it's kind of hard to know which one is actually called the zigzag, but there you go.
We just called it the Famouser.
Yeah.
It's what most people know it as.
It's an awesome first match to kick off the pay-per-view. And it ties in with my idea. Well, not my idea. I just subscribed to this idea that if you're not the last match on, be the first match on so you can blow everyone away.
And as Ziggler said at the end of it, quite rightly, wouldn't you hate to follow that?
Mm.
He's quite right in what he says, where he was saying, oh, you say I'm egotistical, but I can back it up. It wasn't egotistical, is what you said.
Yeah, it's not showing off.
Yeah, it's not showing off if you back it up. And absolutely. I do night after night because I'm really, really good. And he is. He's doing so well at the moment.
It's only a matter of time for Dolph Ziggler. And then, of course, Zack Ryder runs out and puts a beating on Ziggler after the fact.
Which was a bit of a heel move, I thought.
I would agree. It's
Zack
not really
Ryder's
fair.
Turn heel.
That's it. Zack Ziggler's Ryder and John Cena in one night. Unbelievable.
They're going to be the new heel tag team.
That's it. The monster heels of wrestling.
That means that Swaggler, the two of them, are going to become faces, I guess.
Yes, so.
Which means Vicky Guerrero is going to have to turn face as well. Brad, you and your predictions.
I love it when you're right. I mean, the interesting fallout of this match, of course, is the fact that Morrison had a little push, got put into a title match, lost the title match in decisive fashion. It was a clean win, apart from Vicky's minor involvement. The win itself, though, was clean. Where does he go from here? You're a bigger fan of him than I am. What do you want to see happen with him?
With Ziggler?
No.
No, with Morrison. Well, there's not really much that can happen. I assume he's going to be leaving at the end of the month with his contract up.
They kind of glossed over everything to do with Morrison.
But if he does stay, I suppose it's going to end up being I suppose one good thing that could come of it is you could have a Zack Ryder, Ziggler, back and forth for the belt. Ziggler could lose it because he's going to be moving on up and he's going to have to drop the belt to move up to the next level.
Yeah.
So if he dropped it to Zack Ryder and if Morrison turns heel.
Yeah.
He was quite a good heel when he was with the Miz and Morrison tag team.
And prior to that, obviously, Eminem as well.
Yeah, Eminem. Maybe he turns heel and goes against Zack Ryder.
Could be.
I don't know. I think that could work quite well. He does play a good heel character and give Zack Ryder a belt run. I know they're not big fan of him, but
I think you're right. Either he turns heel, or unfortunately, more likely, I think he's done.
Yeah,
he's done.
But I don't think he'll be staying about too much longer.
Not if they treat him this way. It's just too far in the doghouse. Right, let's move on. And the match that the WWE chose to follow that was Eve versus Beth Phoenix in the Lumberjill match.
Yes. So all the Lumberjills came out first. And as you pointed out, Alicia Fox looks a little bit like a...
She dressed like an Ewok.
Yep.
I just thought it looked a little bit weird.
A bit taller, but...
Yeah, a little bit.
But she had her furry hood up.
I think it would be a little less awkward as well if you tried to fuck Alicia Fox as opposed to trying to fuck a weird little teddy bear monster alien thing. But yeah, she had her hood up. She looked a little bit like an Ewok. And apart from that and the obvious amazing spot, which was the top rope glam slam onto her, that which was honestly the only real highlight to this match, there's really nothing else I find I need to add. They undid, I feel, all the good work that they had at the last pay-per-view at Vengeance. Yeah. I was so
both
taken
really
away with that.
The match and we're really impressed with it and kind of half looking forward to this one, really. I know we did.
Let's see if they can do it again. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. But no, it just didn't have the same feel to it, and it just didn't work as well. But the glam slam from the top rope was good, and it really looked like she impacted on that.
Yeah.
With the face.
Yeah, her face. Her lovely two faces.
Yeah.
It looked, I mean, I'm surprised that her boobs didn't just explode right then and there. But as you said, she had two beautiful airbags.
Yep.
To land on, so that's not too bad. I mean, really, honestly, do we have anything else to talk about with this match? Because I don't think I have anything else to add.
Who the fuck is Maxine?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm guessing she's from an NXT or something like that, but...
Maybe Superstars?
Maybe.
I don't know, I don't watch those shows. I just watch the good stuff.
Email us in if you know.
BlindTagPodcast@gmail.com. Do you remember it this time, Tim?
Yes, I do.
What's our website?
It's BlindTagPodcast.com.
What about our Twitter account?
I don't know, I don't use Twitter.
At
BlindTagPodcast, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was a logical guess and you got it right. Great. So, well done, Tim.
We've also got a Facebook page if you want to go on there and like that.
Facebook.com/BlindTagPodcast. That's it. Cool. Hit us up. We want to hear from you guys.
Do it.
Then we cut backstage and we are with the great one himself, The Rock, who cuts a promo about his history at Madison Square Garden, his history, you know, as a kid growing up, watching his father wrestle, hanging out with Andre the Giant. Let me say that again.
Giant.
No. In fact, he said it twice, remember?
Yeah, he did.
You ruined it. I ruined it by not being able to speak.
Giant.
Guy. Giant.
Yeah, and the only interesting part of that, I think, was the fact that somebody seemed ready to censor The Rock because he said WWF, didn't he?
Yeah, it looks like they knew he was going to say it.
Yeah.
Over that. Oh, it wasn't live.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what he said.
Maybe it was a pre-recorded pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's it.
The whole thing done. All those trending wasn't really trending. Lies.
The funniest, but at the same time, most kind of conceited moment of this promo was when people started chanting "lady parts," and The Rock just had like the biggest shit-eating grin on his face because he managed to get however many thousands of people chanting "lady parts." If you think about it logically, is a little bit stupid.
I'd like to hear vagina chant.
Vagina.
Vagina.
Like that.
Vagina. Just like, yeah, like they're all singing.
Right,
Bloodhound
singing.
Gang.
At first, I didn't think it was a chant at first. It sounded more like you were making fun of special people.
Vagina.
Vagina. Whereas I was doing a chant.
I can't sing.
Moving on.
Vagina, vagina, vagina.
Join in at home, guys.
Vagina. Vagina.
Next up is
what I think
might be the match of the night. Either this or I agree with you on Ziggler and John Morrison just because they set such a good precedent and a good start to the pay-per-view. But next up is the traditional Survivor Series matchup. Wade Barrett's team versus Randy Orton's team. Or Team Barrett versus Team Orton, is there more?
Yep.
Colloquially known. What do you think of this match
as a whole? I thought it was good once going to it. The beginning of it was obviously just the usual. We've got 5-on-5. You have a little bit of a breakdown here and here. People settle down, settle in. You had the spots at the beginning. Obviously, Sin Cara's damaged his
knee.
His knee. His,
whatever it is. That was awful because there was such a such an awkward pause as everybody had to assess and then reassess and decide on what to do. You know, they're all just hanging around in and out the ring.
Was supposed to be another spot, or that spot was supposed to carry on. So then they had to realise or reassess who was going to be eliminating who or whatever. But
it
did feel a bit awkward. They tried sorting it out well at first with the Unico went across. He crawled across the floor to check on Swagger because Swagger was still lying there. Kofi Kingston and Sheamus got in the middle, so they couldn't get to Sin Cara while he was on the floor. So in case they came across to attack him from that corner, so that made sense. But then everyone just got like all of team.
As soon as the official, as soon as the official X was thrown up,
they all just stopped down.
That's when it got really awkward, and that really translated on TV. I'm sure it translated in the arena as well. It was just a bit awkward.
So we don't know what we're doing. Crap! We've got to reassess this. And then, but once they got back into it, it went well. Like it started going.
They picked up the flow again because I mean that was essentially the equivalent of like putting on a handbrake.
Yeah,
big time. But, I mean, Dolph was the first to be eliminated by Randy Orton with a quick RKO, seemingly out of nowhere. Why do you think Dolph was eliminated so quickly out of the match? Do you think it was because of the length and quality of the first match?
Yeah, he's possibly he was just tired from the first match.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Just tired?
Yeah.
I mean, he wrestled two reasonably lengthed matches on Vengeance, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe picked up not a big injury, but it's maybe he had like a muscle spasm after the match, or I don't know, not a spasm, but you know what I mean. Maybe something felt like it was a bit too tight.
Wrong.
And
I think he deserved to hit the showers first because he's worked so hard. He shouldn't be wrestling in two matches again. That's a bit silly. My note on the initial accident by Sin Cara was, "What the fuck was that, Sin Cara?" Because it just looked so fucked up. And, it was a legit... I said it looks like a legit injury, and then it was a legit injury. He's torn the muscle off
watching
or something.
It looks as though, as he jumped to go over the rope, he'd done something to it, rather than when he flipped over the rope and banged it on the side off. Because the way he jumped, it looked like he grabbed hold of the rope to try and stop himself, because he had injured his knee.
Yeah.
So I think it was rather than fucking up the jump overwards, and then banging his knee on over the ropes... over the rope and banging his knee on the apron.
Yeah.
I think as he ran up to the rope, I think he must have landed on it dodgy to take this.
Either way, I mean, he caught his leg. He flipped over, almost landed on his damn head.
Yep.
Hunico did his best to sell it, but when they showed it in replay and pointed out the fact that, you know, he tripped up and he injured himself, it was super obvious that no damage was taken, which, you know, really highlights the fakeness of it all.
Yeah.
Alternatively, you can make the argument that he was dodging out the way.
Yep, that's what he was doing.
Come on, there you go. Hunico was jumping out the way. Yep. He wasn't selling.
Looking into that, it looks like Sin Cara's going to be out for 6 to 9 months, it said. So don't expect to see him until next summer.
Don't expect to see him again. I think
the second time is fucked up, isn't it, really?
I think that just given his track record with the WWE and how everyone was down on him so much, except for Trips, who fought in his corner, you know, people were saying he wasn't wrestling safe and stuff like that. I mean, the only person he injured in this case was himself, and I think if anyone's going to get screwed over, he screwed himself over. It's a shame. I mean, he does this day in, day out. He trained for this. He should be able to do that. It's a freak accident. I understand that, but from a business standpoint, Sin Cara doesn't make sense anymore.
It looked like he pissed off Orton, and he's one
yeah.
of the men you don't want to piss off.
Yeah, Orton gave him that stare, the same stare he probably gave Mr. Kennedy shortly before he became Mr. Anderson in TNA, now known as Impact Wrestling, which you can listen to reviews of on our sister show, the BJ Podcast, which they're recording the second episode of this coming Sunday.
And no, it's not anything to do with blowjobs.
Well, unfortunately not.
I listened to the first one thinking, awesome, I'm going to listen to an hour of blowjobs.
Sounds.
Just sounds of Brad sucking off Joe for an hour. But no, it wasn't. It was actually quite a bit more interesting is what I meant to say there.
A little bit more interesting.
Quite a bit more interesting.
Despite the unfortunate sound issues. But, I mean, what the most interesting thing I'm sure they'll be going to be talking about, because they are only supposed to be talking about Impact and to degrees, maybe Ring of Honor and stuff like that. Yeah. Brad, I'm sure he's just going to talk about Cena's heel turn. It's just going to be an hour's worth of his heel turn.
It was a surprise heel turn, to be fair. I saw it coming.
I never saw it coming. Brad was the only one in the whole world to see this coming. And he guaranteed it.
He guaranteed it.
I look forward to hearing about it on Sunday. But off of that, I couldn't help but look over at one point when Kofi Kingston was in the ring. And Orton, Sheamus, and Mason Ryan were on the ring apron. I just thought it was so weird, the sheer variety of skin tone on Team Orton amongst the white guys, just looking at him, going just left to right. It's like a whole color palette right there. A fake tan through to pale, you know.
Through to even faker tan.
That's it, yeah, exactly.
The only thing that would have made it even worse was if...
If what, Tim? No? All right.
If Evan Bourne, sorry, I just thought... Oh,
Evan Bourne.
I wanted to make you like, do a bit of editing later, you can cut that down. If Evan Bourne was there with his bright... orange, almost yellow spray tan.
Same as Christian. He looks jaundiced at times, except he's on the other team. There were big Cody chants when he got in the ring, which is nice to see. Incidentally, Mason Ryan got eliminated by Cody Rhodes after a crossroads. I said to you earlier, I can't help but feel that Mason Ryan would have had nothing to do with this match had Evan Bourne still be around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those tag elements, they didn't really pick up on or really develop, I thought. Like the fact that Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler were tagged. A tag team at times, you know, they have a working relationship, so they should know each other quite well. They didn't really bring that up
at all.
Ziggler
wasn't in long enough to really make any use of that, but...
That is true. All right, fine. Shut up.
All right, cool. I'll go home. I'll leave you to it. I'll go and watch the football.
Don't go.
I'll miss you.
Don't leave. Kofi's then eliminated by Wade Barrett after Wasteland. There's a nice little showing by Kofi here, I thought. He did well. He didn't stand out, but he did well. Sheamus gets DQ'd due to vicious knees on Swagger when Swagger is up on the rope and he didn't adhere to the referee's 5 count, so he got disqualified. Which is the ending you predicted for a big show, Mark Henry. You recall?
Sorry, Tim's not here right now.
Oh,
he's
I see.
Home. Please leave a message.
Have I hurt your feelings?
Beep.
You could be quiet.
Beep.
Tim, this is Steve. I'm sorry. Come back to the podcast. We miss you. We need you. Brad just makes all these wackadoo, which is crazy
okay,
guarantees. Oh,
I'm
awesome.
Yeah.
Thank God. I saw you cracking up as I was saying that. So every show without you is just Brad making stupid remarks about guaranteeing heel turns.
Being racist, I hear.
Absolutely. It's awful. Unlike you.
I know. I'm lovely.
But yeah, Sheamus is DQ'd. And I said, you know, and I was right, obviously Sheamus was going to leave a mark before he left. He knocked Swagger the fuck out with a big old bro kick.
Big bro kick.
And then Orton... Slithers in, gets the pin. Is it 1-on-3 at this point? I think it is. Hunico
is
Cody and Barrett.
Yeah, so it was 4-on-1, and then he got the pin on Swagger.
I was really worried we were going to see Super Barrett,
Super or take out all three of them. Yeah, that would have been bad.
I mean, we did see him do it to Hunico after a springboard RKO.
Yeah, that looked good.
It looked good. I called it though.
Sorry, he solved that quite well.
Like a second before, I did say like
just as he jumps up onto the ropes, you were like, "Oh,
you knew an RKO was coming."
RKO off the ropes.
It doesn't really matter if it was super obvious because it still looked awesome.
It did. Not as good. I still think the best RKO I saw was when he done it to Evan Bourne after
450.
Doing the.
Is it 450?
No, 450. He does his shooting star press, and he done it off that.
Yeah, that was
that
amazing.
Really good.
That'll always be a highlight. That is like when Shelton Benjamin got hit by the Sweet Chin Music by Shawn Michaels after doing a springboard. That was amazing too. But yeah, and then as we said, Orton eliminates Hunico. Barrett then eliminates Orton. So it was 1-on-2. Barrett and Cody has, of course, dropped his mask in, as we talked about on podcast number 8. So if you want to hear more about that and how stupid we think it is, because it didn't really deliver that too well, I don't think.
It didn't really come up in too much of a story. It just something wasn't there anymore.
Listen to number 8, which you can download below this one on iTunes and on blindtagpodcast.com. But yeah, he eliminates him with a Wasteland? Most probably. Yeah, to win the match. And, you know, I thought it was a good match, to be honest with you. I thought it had good flow, and it was nice back-and-forth action throughout. People weren't playing dead too often. There was circulation of everybody in and out the ring. Overall, as far as traditional Survivor Series matches go, I really enjoyed it.
It was a good match. It just wasn't my match of the evening.
I think maybe the reason
I think,
for...
I think if Sin Cara hadn't got injured, it might have worked a lot better.
Possibly.
I think it was just that breakdown there, and then obviously they lost Sin Cara, so that's really major. And maybe Sin Cara and Hunico were supposed to do a bit more of a...
I would imagine they would have
together.
A bit more interaction. Yeah. But, I mean, as well, I mean, I think the Ziggler-John Morrison match was just such a good wrestling match, back-and-forth wrestling, yeah. Whereas this is obviously, it had quite a few spots, it had this and that. There was a lot more going on at any one time, so you weren't seeing real chain wrestling like you did in the first match. But insofar as story and drama goes, I think these guys told a pretty good story in the ring.
Yep, and it does build up Barrett for a bit more of a run now.
Absolutely, it does. If anything, this firmly puts Barrett in the main event, which, as I said before, this match was either going to make him or break him. I still think he's a bit boring. But if he's going to enter into a card with Randy Orton, which seems the obvious progression from here,
that's really. Yeah.
I'd like to see what happens between them. Cool. All done with that match?
Yep.
Let's push on.
Next up is Mark Henry versus Big Show. And this is a match that the crowd seemed very wavering for. They started off quite a good reaction to it. And then after a little while, they got a bit dead. And then there was a boring chant. Then they died again. And then at the end, they picked up again.
Yeah, I mean, it was slow pace from the start. Again, it's a Mark Henry versus Big Show match. What else are you going to really expect? Apparently, there were Mark Henry chants at one point, which I didn't really hear, but the King thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, there's a few Daniel Bryan chants.
Yeah, throughout, because people were perhaps expecting him to make an appearance, which he did not.
Was there a sexual chocolate chant? Because apparently sexual chocolate was trending, so I wasn't sure if they were chanting it in there as well.
Yes.
Yes, we'll say there was. If you know different, get in contact at You Know Our Stuff.
Oh, Tim.
Blind Tag Podcast. Blind Tag Plop Plop Plop. Blind Tag Plop Plop.
@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But yeah, the boring chants throughout, because I mean the pacing was so slow. It was slow to begin with, and then Mark Henry made it even slower to wrestle his style. You know, that whole stuff when Big Show was on the ground, and then he was at the ropes, and he was refusing to get in, and stuff like that. As I say, it's just as slow as you'd expect. Glacial, almost. It was that slow. That's right, we had We Want Ryder chants throughout this one as well. Yep. That was a chant that lasted throughout the night, is worth pointing out. So, I mean, New York crowd, big behind there.
Well, up until the Rock, anyway.
Well, big into their Zack Ryder, and WWE, I mean...
It seems that most crowds at the moment are big into their Zack Ryder, but...
WWE, it's just another example of them showing that they don't want to push anyone or support anyone that they have not built up themselves. You know, that's all it is.
Maybe he'll win Money in the Bank next year.
Maybe if they push, if they decide to push him. I mean, all this stuff, the shirts, the show that he does online.
John Cena's a big fan. He keeps giving him the bump.
John Cena likes him because, I mean, he showed gumption. Zack Ryder was willing to build himself up because he wasn't being given a push at work. So build yourself online. He's got a crowd following when he wasn't even on TV. That's amazing. You know, he's doing it for himself. But once again, because Vince didn't make him, Vince didn't really make this character. And because of that, Vince doesn't really feel he owns him. And so he's not pushing him. He's not developing him, despite the fact people want to see him. Even though he's at best a above average wrestler, you know, he's got great charisma. Even though I still think he's kind of scary looking. In all honesty, he's got a weird face to him. But yeah, the big 2 points about this match, though. I mean, let's face it, this match was a spot match. They were bouncing around the ring a little bit just to get into the position for these two moves.
Yeah, yeah.
The first being when Mark Henry puts Big Show through the barricade with a shoulder barge.
Yep.
Which, as you said before, and quite rightly, you know, we've already seen that.
Yeah, we saw it. Well, it wasn't a shoulder barge, but we saw Mark Henry and Sheamus go through the barrier.
It was like a running power slam.
Running power slam, and it was the only thing he could do to put Sheamus out. So he tried it with Big Show to try and put him out, but Big Show managed to get up and crawl along.
Getting him by a count of 8. Yep. And the next big moment of this match, the only defining moment of it, was a top rope elbow from the Big Show onto Mark Henry, which was pretty awesome to see because, I mean, we all saw that they reinforced the ring. They showed that on the pay-per-view. But I can't recall ever seeing Big Show fly like that willingly, you know? And, you know, by that point, when the Big Show finally gets up and just jumps off, and remember, he's legit over 500 pounds, you know, the crowd are totally awake by this point in this match because they just saw a giant fly. Or that is to say, a giant fall to the ground with style. That's not flying, that's falling with style. Adventure starts tomorrow. Check it out. iTunes. But after that, what do we get? We get Randy Savage chant, which is nice. It's not the first time we'll hear it this night either.
Nope. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time we hear it in upcoming. We had it a few pay-per-views ago as well.
It's weird because, I mean, Randy Savage, like, as a wrestler, as a cult icon, has kind of been floating along under the radar for a long while. And then, of course, he obviously, unfortunately, passed earlier this year. And I think it was May or June. And ever since then, anytime somebody lands a top rope elbow, it's Randy Savage time. Despite the fact, obviously, Shawn Michaels
did it quite a lot as well, yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was writing that note down about Randy Savage, you actually mentioned Shawn Michaels. Oh, no, that's later on.
Yeah, that's later on.
Never mind. How does Mark Henry end this match? I know the answer, but I'm asking you a rhetorical question so you can answer.
A rhetorical question doesn't need an answer.
Okay. All right, you just showed me up twice during this show. This is the first time. Okay, this is the second time this show. All right. I'm asking you a question. I'm feeding you a line so you can continue the conversation.
How did
Mark Henry end the show?
Kicking him in the nuts.
Oh, there we go.
Kicked him in.
That's why you wanted to get snarky, because you can remember it first.
Shh, don't tell the listeners.
But yeah, it was a blatant low blow. He just turned around, and it's not exactly what we thought. Well, I thought maybe there would be Daniel Bryan involvement. That's what I said.
Yeah. Obviously,
my prediction of potential Money in the Bank or hinting at that was way off.
Yeah.
So Unlike Brad's prediction of Cena
turning heel. Yeah.
That was on the money.
Yeah, because I had said that maybe Big Show would get disqualified for getting really annoyed and just swinging punches in the corner, but no, it turns out the other way around.
Well, just a big low blow. And, you know, Mark Henry obviously keeps the championship, but Big Show gets the W by DQ in his win-loss column. After the match, Mark Henry tries to break Show's ankle again with the chair, putting him back in the Hall of Pain. But Show moves at the last minute and hits the WMD, which, in my honest opinion, I think Mark Henry sells the WMD really well.
Yeah, apart from as we were watching it, I did have to say, what was with the twitch? He fell down. He took the punch very well. He fell down and he sold it. And then he lands and he twitches. And he done the exact same after the elbow drop. He took the elbow drop and then he lied there for a second. And then did the body twitch.
Yeah. Another person who used to twitch a lot when selling stuff was The Rock. The big one was whenever he'd do a stunner. And after flipping around for about 10 seconds, he'd just lay there and be like, ugh! Like twitch up and then twitch up again. I thought that was always a little bit overselling. I think that looked a little bit goofy. And of course, The Rock was teaming up tonight in the main event with John Cena.
Who turned heel.
Oh, could you believe it? He turned heel. We jump backstage then, and it's Wade Barrett being interviewed, giving him TV time to look smug and, you know, get people familiar with his face because he's obviously getting primed for something big.
I suppose they're trying to get people used to the English accent as well.
It's interesting because, I mean, this puts parallels for me with what happened to Drew McIntyre, the chosen one. You know, wouldn't it have made more sense for them to develop him and him be in Wade Barrett's shoes?
So.
Yeah. I could have easily seen Drew McIntyre at one point, not anymore, obviously.
But at one point being up there, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a shame for Drew. He showed promise.
He's still around on Superstars. He wants to make the most of it, but I just don't think he'll be there much longer. Just like Jomo.
Poor little Drew.
But yeah, during his interview, he threw out a really outdated Charlie Sheen reference by saying, it's what you Americans call winning.
That's what your American Charlie Sheen calls winning.
Yeah, calls winning.
I'm assuming that's because up north, where he lives in England, they've only just got 2.5 men, and they've only just got these references, because they only got TVs about 5 years ago.
Something like that. They still don't have the internet.
But up north, they're poor. They haven't even got like toilets in the house or fridges.
Do they have outhouses?
Yeah.
And outfridges?
No, they haven't got an outfridge. It's just so cold up there. They just put things in the garden.
Nice. So the whole world is their fridge.
Yeah.
Right on. How do they stop people stealing stuff?
Well, it doesn't matter because they stole it off someone else anyway.
Oh, right.
Because they're northern.
Oh, right. Because they're northern. Nice. Northern people, I love you. Tim does not. Tim from Southeast London does not.
Yes, come down to Southeast London and find me.
Southeast, way. That was Tim, by the way. I was just listening. But then R-Truth and Miz interject and complain, leading Wade Barrett to leave, giving them the mic time with Matt Stryker. And this was maybe your favorite moment of the pay-per-view?
Yeah. What was it? I was like, Truth talks absolute bullshit, but he does it so well.
It's because, like I said, I think the reason is because his character, you're not sure whether he's going to follow through or not.
Whether he's actually crazy enough to believe that the pigeons do talk to
him. That's right. He talked to pigeons. And you know what they said?
Nothing, because pigeons don't talk.
Pigeons don't talk.
What an answer. That's an amazing answer.
It is. But it's so straightforward and obvious, and Truth plays unhinged so well, you know? Like, it's the kind of, I mean, you got two characters right now in the WWE that could essentially be doing the same stuff, the unhinged stuff, Cody Rhodes and R-Truth, but they're different types of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, Cody Rhodes is, like, malicious and quiet, and he does this weird stuff with his head, and he laughs and then stops laughing, whereas R-Truth is just mumbling to himself, talking to himself. He's a lot more over the edge, and he talks to pigeons as well.
But they don't talk back, luckily. If they talk back, then he'd be in a white jacket with the arms of ants.
If the pigeons talk back, all I know is some pigeon's going to get gut. About
but
it.
Crap's crap. And
crap's
gonna get got.
That's right. That's right. There's only a few certain things in this world, right? Death, taxes, crap's crap, and John Cena is going to turn heel at Survivor Series. Ayo! Let's move on. Next up, we have the WWE title match of CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio. And the reason I want to take point on this little one was because I just liked at the very beginning when they're introing it. They go, this whole story started at Survivor Series. And as they're going to video, you just hear Michael Cole go, SummerSlam. SummerSlam. As if that's going to fix it. What do you think of this match, of this build-up? I mean, before we get there, let's talk, of course, about CM Punk's personal ring announcer as well.
Mr. Finkel.
Howard Fink. Howard the Fink Finkel. So good to see him back. That guy's got...
Still got it. Still got
such
a good
amazing voice for announcing and... just announcing. What do you think of this match, though?
The match was good. I enjoyed it. It was a good back and forth again. Most Punk matches and most Del Rio matches I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
When Del Rio first came in, I got a bit bored of these matches because it always seemed to be, oh, I'm just waiting for the armbar, just waiting for the armbar. That's what's going to come on. But now they've got him in the main event and we all know that he can use the armbar.
Mm.
That's calmed down a lot more, and he actually wrestles. And they're actually putting on some really good matches.
Definitely. And, you know, I said this to you earlier. It's definitely worth pointing out, though. You know, the fact that Alberto Del Rio has built up the armbar, to the point where it's a legitimate finishing move, as opposed to just a rest hold or something like that. You know?
Yes.
And,
sorry, yes. I said in the text.
Nice. Yeah, he's doing that right now. Nice to know you're focusing. Who are you texting?
I'm actually talking to my little brother. He's going to a gig So we're just talking about the gig.
Fair enough. But yeah, you know, he's built up this move that prior to Del Rio, I'm accidentally playing footsie with you. Prior to Del Rio, it's just been a rest hold, you know, a transitional move to something else. And I think that's really good to see.
But it's the same with Ziggler when he was using the
sleeper hold.
He built that up and he made that, or he was just about to make it into a proper finishing move, something. And then he uses it every now and then, but not anymore. But not as much as he used to. He used to use it quite a lot, and now it's just dropped off again.
Same thing as well with Chris Masters taking what was a full Nelson and turning it into a finishing move with the Master Lock, which Mason Ryan kind of uses now.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, well. Del Rio at one point spills out of the ring and seems to land pretty hard on his ass. You know, look like his coccyx. Yeah, exactly. You can damage that pretty easily or bruise it or make it hard to walk and stuff like that. Just like what you said with the Mark Henry and Big Show match, I actually thought that there were a lot of flat points with the crowd during this match. They seemed kind of almost drained, maybe saving themselves for the main event.
But there was another Randy Savage chant during this.
Yep. There was a Booyah exchange, which I always think are really
good. They're always fun.
And then, yeah, proper Macho Man reference when CM Punk goes up to the top rope and actually points up into the sky as Macho Man used to do before delivering that top rope elbow. And as you say, there was a...
And then after that, when Del Rio was getting up, he looked like he was tuning up the band.
Yeah.
A little homage to Shawn Michaels just afterwards.
That's why I accidentally said earlier, jumping the gun a bit. But yeah, it did, almost. He was just kind of stomping around, stealing moves from everyone.
I'd prefer to say he was...
homage.
It was a homage.
Let's see what Kurt Angle has to say to Randy Orton if Orton hits the Angle Slam again. And then the crowd finally wakes up, like, big time again after Del Rio slaps on the arm breaker, because obviously they don't want CM Punk to tap. It was a good moment. It was a tense moment, because as I said yesterday, my prediction was I wanted Del Rio to win, but I was pretty sure CM Punk would. And then this next part, I'll let you say, because you enjoyed it quite a lot, when Alberto Del Rio goes for the roll-up and tries to grab some tights.
And we got to see his punk ass.
There we go. His punk ass. Thank you.
Yeah.
you should write for a late night talk show host with those kind of zingers.
Oh, do the headlines for the Sun.
Yeah. After that little exchange, the Anaconda Vice gets locked in, and it's only a matter of time because Del Rio taps, and there's a new champ.
Tappa.
To be honest with you, the drama involved, Punk was a lot further away than Del Rio was when they locked on their respective submissions. So, Del Rio should have been able to move over and get the ropes. But, oh well, it was still pretty dramatic. He tapped out, and we have a new champion. And Punk celebrates big time with the fans jumping in, treating like a mosh pit almost.
Yeah,
he was
crowd surfing by the looks of it. Or trying to, but they all kind of sat down and just let him land on their laps.
Big smiles all around.
But I'm going to point out something that you said after we did all our predictions yesterday, is we have got, as we spoke about, the threat of the armbar that Del Rio uses. But recently, Punk's been going around putting the Anaconda Vice on everyone. So how come this match wasn't turned into a submissions match?
Yeah, I thought that would make it a lot more interesting, personally.
It ended with a submission anyway.
Yeah.
So,
Punk hasn't used, just like as we were talking earlier, the sleeper hold, the armbar, the Master Lock. Punk, when he was having his feud with The Undertaker, really built up the Anaconda Vice and they just stopped using it completely. So you'd think that building that move back up, a submission match, kind of makes sense, but they didn't go that way.
Maybe that's what they'll do at TLC.
Maybe. It'll be interesting to see how the feud develops between them and, of course, John Laurinaitis. Can't count him out. He started the show at the very top.
Yep.
Don't forget, he came out.
And Michael Cole as well, because Punk still didn't apologize to him. So
that's right. So they're probably still all going to get involved. Now he's their champion, so they're not going to be happy about that. Yeah. I guess those answers will be answered on.
Cole was still wearing the sling.
Monday Night Raw. Yeah, at one point.
Yeah.
Booker T was rubbing him.
Yep.
As you pointed out, with his, what did you call them?
I said with his hands.
No, you didn't.
I said with his long, thin, rapey fingers.
Thin, rapey fingers. You make him sound like E.T.
But I'm just glad that you're not calling me racist again.
Yeah, well, there we go. But overall, I thought that was a pretty good match. Again, I think this from top to bottom, it was an enjoyable pay-per-view. There were a few low points, like the Divas match and Mark Henry Big Show, but most of the matches featured were watchable and enjoyable, you know, and this was one of them. I don't think this was CM Punk's best showing. I also don't think this was Del Rio's best showing. So hopefully we'll see them again, and you know they'll
nice TLC match down. Between the two of them. Del Rio's obviously going to have his rematch clause.
Yeah, I just think it's a shame to keep bouncing belts off of him. You know, he keeps going on about how it's his destiny. You know, CM Punk's making fun of him, saying he's one track, you know, one dimensional. If as long as CM Punk holds it for a while, unlike John Cena when Del Rio lost it just to win it back at the next pay per view, that was just pointless. It was absolutely ridiculous.
So, will it be Del Rio will then be done? So we don't want to go back into a storyline with Cena in the belt because.
Cena's
done with the belt until after WrestleMania. So who will Punk feud against after Del Rio if he keeps hold of it?
Who is there on Raw right now? That's like.
Well, I suppose technically The Miz and Truth will be done with The Rock and Cena now.
Mm.
So one of them two could go for it. Unless they end up having a feud for the tag team belts because they kept saying they're one of the best. They're the best charismatic tag team, blah, 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 blah. So they could go after the tag belts for those two. Ziggler, Swagger, both there. Nash could come back into it.
Nash, I said there was unfinished business.
Yeah, there's unfinished business between Nash and Punk. So,
yeah, if Nash comes back, I say Nash. Yeah.
Well, he's still about, isn't he? But I'm assuming that Triple H is going to come back
at some point
soon.
Well, maybe TLC, Nash, Punk.
Triple H, Triple Threat.
Yeah, or Triple H comes back.
Yeah.
Have to wait and see. Let's see what happens over these next couple of weeks of Raw and SmackDown. But yeah, you ready to move on to the final match of the night?
Yep, I might need to go to the toilet first.
Let's do it. With the magic of podcast editing, it'll be like you never left. Oh, hey, Tim.
Sorry that took an hour.
That's all right. The main event. Do you want to take the lead with this? Who was in it?
The main event of the evening. It was some people, and they had a fight with some other people, and then some people won.
Mm.
We had Awesome Truth.
Yeah.
Versus the Never Before, Never Again team of The Rock and Hornswoggle.
And Horny.
Little
Can
horny
I just say, I said this here earlier, but the design of the Never Before, Never Again. Excuse me. Thing was awesome. Like the red and the white. So no matter how you read it, it was always never before, never again. Never before, never again. It just worked really, really
Unless
well.
Unless you read it backwards, in which case it was again, never.
Before never.
Never.
Again?
Oh, I suppose that makes
never.
Sense.
Before, it still kind of makes sense.
Never. Yeah, true.
Yeah. You just got to put a bit of a comma in there. But yeah, it was Awesome Truth versus Rock and John Cena, who, surprise of the night, didn't see this coming.
Turned heel.
He turned. Heel.
He beat up Hornswoggle and stole his position.
Ooh, what a monster heel. Boo this man, as CM Punk might say.
Boo.
You sound like Sin Cara Negro's theme music with like, the dying cow. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I mean, this match, apart from the big, big heel turn, was pretty standard. As far as a match goes, I thought it was a lot shorter than it would be. A lot of the length of time was taken up with... build-up promo videos, the entrances, stuff like that. And there was a lot of stop-starts during this match. Like, The Rock would stop and just look out at the audience. And he did that a lot to build up their excitement to a fever pitch before he did anything.
There's a lot of The Rock and Cena just staring at each other as well.
Longingly.
I want to touch you. I want to kiss you all over.
You still got it, Chance. I was very impressed with The Rock. He did.
Until the night closes in.
He did showcase.
Until the night closes in. I'll stop now.
Yeah. Thank you. I think he did showcase, you know, some skill there again. For somebody who's not wrestled since 2004, WrestleMania 20, it's highly impressive. Highly, highly impressive what he pulled out. You know, I mean, at one point before he posed down and just had became a wash with the You Still Got It chance, I just thought he was just busting out arm drags. That's what it looked like. But he was bouncing around the ring. He was doing a whole bunch of stuff. And it was just good to see him in the ring again. I mean, as he was doing his intro, to think he's not been there for 7 years. 7 years is a long time to make the Tooth Fairy. And walking tall. And... other movies he's been in. I'm trying to think of the ones that haven't done well. The Scorpion King.
Race to Witch Mountain.
There you go. Stuff like that. But apparently Fast 5 is good. I'm not a fan of that series.
I haven't seen that one. I've seen all the others in the Fast and the Furious series. And to be fair, they're all pretty much the same film. They're all, I can drive a car quickly.
Yeah.
But this one's different because it's got The Rock, and The Rock has a goatee.
Nice. Yeah, I don't like his goatee. He looks goofy with it. Although I'm sure he'll be sporting it in G.I. Joe when that comes out, maybe next year. But yeah, I thought there's maybe a little bit too much time wasting, you know? I think one of the funniest things I overheard during this match was when a crowd member shouted out, "Show those pigeons who's boss!" to R-Truth. You didn't hear that at first. I had to point that out to you, but it was pretty fucking funny. Those New Yorkers. Oh, those rockers New Yorkers.
They've got some wit.
They do. I noticed this about halfway through the match, maybe, but apparently R2's ass is Jimmy-proof.
Yeah.
That's what he had on his
ass. I'm assuming Jimmy's also gay, as well as being little and annoying.
And a child.
And children, so he doesn't want any gay children near his bum.
He's Jimmy-proof, or at least his ass is. What do you think of this match as a whole? Because I'm nearing the end of my notes here, but they really didn't wrestle for as long as it seemed.
Yeah, they didn't wrestle that much. The match went on, but there was a lot of standing about. The Rock seemed to possibly walk about 5 miles on the apron.
That's right. Yeah,
every time he looks over him, he was just walking up and down.
I said to you, how many times do you think, how many tags were there actually between Rock and Cena?
Like two.
I think there was two. Rock was in first. And then he tagged Cena in, then Cena got beat the fuck up, and then finally got the tag to Rock, and then Rock wins the match.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I thought Miz and Truth held their own quite well.
Oh, yeah.
They really did. They're fighting the top guy of this generation and the top guy from our generation. And neither of them looked bad. No. They both stood up well.
Incidentally, this is the only match where I predicted wrong. Every other match, I got a correct prediction.
I predicted a riot.
A riot?
Yeah, I predict a riot.
But yeah, no, in all seriousness, you predicted most of these wrong.
Yeah, I know. My predictions are always wrong.
Last time we were really close. Do you remember when we did our game?
Yes.
To see, this time it's a landslide. I win.
Yeah, by quite a bit.
We should add like a little stipulation to it, like somebody, you know, buys chocolate. Or a dildo or something.
I don't eat chocolate, so I'll have a dildo. Oh. I don't know if I'm going to use a dildo.
I'll get you a chocolate dildo.
If you get me like a vibrating one, I can use it to stir my cocktails.
Fantastic. Fantastic. But overall, I thought this match was just a little bit, you know, I wanted to see a bit more of The Rock, what he could do. I think he definitely, I think if you look back at it and you look at it critically, he didn't wrestle as much as you might first think he did. You know,
yeah. The
impression at the end of the match was, wow, I can't believe I just watched Rock wrestle and he was amazing, blah, blah, blah. No, look, watch that match again. He does a lot of standing around. As Tim says, he walks 5 miles on the apron and he does a lot of posing before engaging and stuff like that. It's clever and it proves why he's the most charismatic wrestler maybe ever.
Entertainer.
Yeah, entertainer.
Sports entertainer.
Ever. No, they're just entertainer now because he does everything. But, you know, I mean, insofar as a one-on-one match at the granddaddy of them all, is he ready? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not too sure. I'd like to see. Obviously, he's training. He's training for it. So by the time it rolls around, it'll be amazing.
He's banging and clanging.
He's banging and clanging at 3 a.m. But he wins with a people's elbow. After he hits the spine buster, then people's elbow, just like old times. Who did you get the pin on? Was it R-Truth? Yeah.
No.
No?
Wasn't it The Miz? Because John Cena came in and speared R-Truth and then rolled out the ring with him.
That's true.
So he did it on The Miz.
We were both just going, spear, spear,
spear, spear.
And then to end the show, Rock and Cena take turn posing on the turnbuckles.
Yeah, and it looked like when Rock was talking and we couldn't hear what he was saying, "Well, do it again. I go up, then you go up, then I'll go up again, and now cheer for me. And then you fuck off."
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what he said. It looked like he said, "You fuck off."
At one point, there was a close-up, and I'm pretty sure he said, "Punk ass bitch," you know. But
he goes from the time of talking smack.
That's it, and he does it well. He's allowed to.
Like Austin did as well when he came back for a couple of shows on Raw.
Big cheers for Rock, predictably, and a huge booze for Cena. I think the first time that he posed, he was maybe a little taken aback.
Yeah,
he seemed almost like
booze he got.
Yeah, he seemed almost embarrassed by it. You know, it's so not over. Except for that one John Cena fan that they cut to. There's one guy standing up doing the fucking 3D sign. That's right, the 3D sign, not the fucking John Cena, everything's okie-dokie thing. And they had the tense, you know, moments between each other before The Rock busted out the...
Well, but just Cena said to him, if you want me to go, I'll go, and turned around. Yeah. Then Rock grabbed hold of him, turned around, and Cena, big smile on his face, I'm going to get a hug from The Rock. Yeah. No, he got a rock bottom.
He got a rock bottom.
Not a hug.
Not a hug.
I want to kiss you all over.
And as he delivered the rock bottom, and as he rolled out, and Cena looked at him, he's going, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's the moment he became a heel.
Yeah.
Without doing anything.
That heel moment of walking away.
That huge heel moment of not engaging, not attacking him behind his back, not becoming a heel. That's when he became a heel. And, you know, Brad just...
Well done, Brad.
Yeah. None of us on this team saw it. Brad was the only one to really have the foresight to see it.
You heard it here first.
You did hear it here first. And this is why... This is why we're just like the best podcast available.
This is why we do our prediction shows.
That's right. So that we can make fun of each other and just really point out the ludicrous theories that sometimes we have.
All I'm going to say is thanks, Brad, for making this great guarantee that Cena's going to become a heel, because I'm the one who got most of the fights wrong. Mm. So if you hadn't said this, all of this hatred and all of this would make be aimed fun. At me.
That's right. It's true. It would have been, yeah. It would have been like, oh, didn't you think Eve would win? Huh, what a loser. She didn't win.
Dude, you're a dickhead.
That's it. Oh,
thanks.
But, yeah. So, that's it for Survivor Series. What did you think overall as a show?
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. At no point did I sit there thinking, bleh.
Yeah.
Like, what was the last one where we...
Vengeance was the last one.
Not the last one,
oh,
but
the
last
one
where we were like, oh, what's going on? What's happening?
What's the one after Vengeance?
You dropped it. You mean before Vengeance?
Yeah, sorry, before. It was Hell in a Cell.
Was that the one where we weren't really keen on much? And
we hated it. I mean, after absolutely loving Money in the Bank and being like, watch Money in the Bank, whatever you do, watch Money in the Bank, it's amazing. And then Hell in a Cell happened, and we're just like, no, don't watch,
yeah.
don't bother. Like, Survivor Series, I don't think will... Survivor Series isn't the best pay-per-view that's happened this year.
But it's not the worst.
It's not the worst. Absolutely.
By far, it's not the worst.
It's kind of in the middle of the road, maybe just slightly above average. Just check it out. It's fun. Like you said, at no point was I clock watching. At no point did I think this is really boring or, oh my God, this is awful. I thought the show was well paced throughout, and I thought it was a lot of fun to watch. So Survivor Series gets a thumbs up from me.
And a thumbs up from me.
Fantastic. So I guess that's it for this show. I mean, let's just start wrapping it up. And before we leave, I'll just reiterate the competition question that we set on number 8. And the winner will be revealed on our next podcast.
Number 9.
Not this Sunday, next Sunday after. And the question was... In Survivor Series in the year 2000, Triple H faced Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who won that match? And that's it.
Answers and the answer is not Hornswoggle.
The answer is not Hornswoggle. Answers it on postcards. Tim? Tell the people how they can get in contact.
You can get in contact with us by emailing us at blindtagpodcast@gmail.co.uk.
.com. Close.
No, because we live in the UK, so I thought it'd be UK.
Let's go.
You can go to our Facebook page, which is just Blind Tag Podcast on Facebook. You could Twitter us.
At Blind Tag Podcast. Or just visit our website.
Which is blindtagpodcast.com.
Exactly. So... I guess that's about it. For me, I'm Steve.
And I'm not.
And remember to get your smart on.
Bye. Yeah.